All right, so we dealt with the past, we've dealt with the present. Well, what about the future? Well, there are some scripture songs that point us the way of the theodicy of the future. The third dimension is our in our new perspective on history has to do with the future. We are, after all, still waiting. We have not seen how all of God's purpose results in good. Thus, the passage of time still tries our patience. And for those who are suffering, the sheer length of the trial can be an occasion for complaint against God. Still in Scripture, God promises us that in the future, he will be totally vindicated and we will be fully delivered from all evil. And as we have indicated, the pattern is that of suffering now and receiving glory later. We see it in Christ. So Christ suffers now, but receives glory at a later time. And that is carried through. That's a motif of Scripture through and through. G.K. Beale would write a book and base it on that. It's so prevalent motif in Scripture.
Yeah, exactly. And so again, Frame gives us a biblical example of this in the prophet Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. Habakkuk complained about the apparent injustice of God's ways. And what happens? Well, he gets two things. First, he's told to wait for God's judgment, right? In Habakkuk chapter 2. And second, he is to remember God's past deeds. That's Habakkuk chapter 3. And so that's kind of what we are to the way we're to react as well, Frank tells us, right? As we wait for the future, seeking to be patient, it is helpful to remember the ways in which God has vindicated his judgment in the past. And so we understand God's, past workings. And so we trust him to be vindicated in the future as well. That's our perspective is what Frame tells us we should do.
Well, he says, then at any rate, we may be assured that the last day that there will be no problem of evil. There will be no more doubt, no more complaint. If there is a residual theoretical problem, it will be one that we will be completely happy to live with. And if we believe now that day will certainly come, can we not be content in the present? Again, we find in Scripture not a philosophical solution to the problem, but a great reassurance, a powerful motivation to keep trusting and obeying despite all the wickedness in the world. We are privileged and have a unique perspective by reading the trial of Cain, where God comes down and says, listen, there's a roaring lion about ready to devour you. Flee from the sin and you'll be saved. What does Cain do? I am not fleeing from my sin. I'm going to embrace it. In fact, so much so that I'm found out as the first murderer, and my name goes down in history as that. And so we know the ending of that story, and it's like, you should have done something different. Well, guess what? We are in the midst of that story, and isn't that sometimes we admit to ourselves too, where it's like, oh man, it's a good thing that we suffered during this time. I'm glad I was poor for this time period, because now that I have way more money, I'm more careful with my finances. Or, I was really glad to lift weights to a certain extent, to where now my PR is phenomenal. Well,
that's right.
I needed those benchmarks during my benching to get to those high points to go, I see this system works. The system, if I trust in the system, then I will build the muscle over time and I'll get to where I want to be. Sports is a great way to do that. Listen, you practice those stupid drills where you just pass the ball back and forth, and guess what? When you're in the midst of the game, those drills are going to be so stuck in your mind that you're going to do it without even thinking about it. That's how good it is. And so that pain, little bit of pain there, is trustworthy in those areas. Maybe we could port it over and give God the benefit of the doubt in those areas too. Not saying it's not hard, because look at the suffering of Christ, and even the scripture writers point to the suffering of Christ as well, of saying, listen, take solace in the fact that God is not this entity who has no no fathomable explanation of like, well, I don't know what suffering is like. Guess what? He entered into his creation and that should have been enough to suffer, but he goes further and suffers completely, so much so that not only does he take all of his people's sin on him, but he takes the full wrath of God on him. And again, if we don't view that as an extreme theodicy explanation there, then we devalue sin or we're devaluing the atonement.
Yeah, exactly.